Welcome to GoTo Gal, episode number 170. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today I have with us an amazing guest who I'm so excited to share with you. If you are like me and you have found social media to just be heavy and stressful and overwhelming, oh, maybe this past year, maybe longer. For me, it's been a little bit longer than that. Oh, then this episode is for you. So, confession time. So, I have two Instagram accounts. You may have heard me talk about this before, but I have two Instagram accounts. One that is Jacqueline Malone, that's Jacqueline underscore Malone. The other one, which is the GoTo Gal account, which is go.to.gal. And I've pivoted them both a couple of times. Neither one of them started out as that name, right? I've changed my business quite a bit over the last almost 6 years now. Yeah, I started both of them the summer of 2015. Pretty crazy. So that said, the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 months, we haven't posted anything on the GoTo Gal account. And with the past couple of months, I've been meeting with my team and really thinking like, okay, where are we going? What are we focusing on? And it really keeps coming back to building GoTo Gal and my vision of building GoTo Gal into more of a media company. And I say more of a media company because technically we're already a media company, but into more of a media company, which I will elaborate on in another episode. Now is not the time or place, but I really want to focus on building that community and connecting you with other GoTo Gals because there's so much amazingness in our community. And I see that in our private communities. And I want to help bring more of that into our not paid or private communities, right? I think we can really be tapping into some of that magic in, I don't know, on Instagram in more of an easily accessible way, right? So we're going to start having some fun over there on that GoTo Gal account. If you're listening to this the day or so it goes live, we haven't started yet. But I'm letting you know, but this is like my accountability that like come over to GoTo Gal and send me a message and be like, hey, like I saw you talking about this because we have not started yet this week. I actually had a call about this morning, which will be the day before this episode goes live. So that's my accountability. If we are not already connected over on the GoTo Gal account, come on over there, send me a DM and let's connect. So our guest today is an expert with social media. But what I really love about her approach is that one, like, yes, she is brilliantly strategic and so creative with the solutions she comes up with, but she also has this emphasis on keeping it mindful. She also told me she has and I've already gone and subscribed and reviewed and obsessed with. So she has a podcast, but she has a separate podcast that is entirely dedicated to meditations revolving around social media. So yes, I am obsessed with Andrea and her approach to this and super excited. I knew I needed to have this conversation with her, but I'm super excited to get to bring you in on it too. You've probably heard me kind of be whiny about social media this past year. I don't know. I started off my business and like everything was social. And the last, 18 months, maybe longer. I don't know. I haven't been tracking it, but I just kind of fell out of love. It's just, maybe it's longer, honestly. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, yeah, it's been a while that I fell out of love with social media and I haven't been as social on it. So I've been really, this year, this past few months, trying to get re-engaged myself and really thinking about how do I want to do this? And not just like, oh, what's the best strategy these days and tactics, but like actually like what's going to feel fun? Because I think if I'm having fun, you can sense that energy and you want to connect with me on there. But if it's like completely automated and feels, I don't know if it's missing that little extra something, something, whatever it is, right? And it doesn't have to be fun, right? But if it's missing that energy and it just feels flat, I feel like we can sense that, right? So how do we put together a plan to really engage our followers, but also engage ourselves? Like, how do we stay like mindful of our own attitude towards it? And that is exactly what our guest here today is going to tackle. Our focus in this conversation is not just on social media overwhelm, but really how to One, engage your followers, but in such a way that converts to sales, because just having a bunch of followers is probably not your goal. It shouldn't be your goal, right? You want to be engaging those people who you can help, right? Who you can take that next step with, whatever that is in your business. So that's what we're going to jam on. Can't wait to get to it. But before we get started, let me officially introduce you to Andrea. Andrea Jones is fiercely committed to helping businesses and podcasters build profitable online communities through simple social media solutions. She's the host of the Savvy Social podcast, creator of the Savvy Social School, a digital platform designed to teach its 100 plus members, predominantly small business owners, how to implement organic social media strategies, and named one of Social Report's top marketers to follow. All right, let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Andrea. Andrea, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here.
Yes, so much to dive into. But before we get started, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
I was a huge reader, and I still am to this day, especially fantasy fiction books. Like, obviously, Harry Potter is like my favorite of all time. And so that's what I was known for growing up, is like always having a book in my hand. If someone needed a book recommendation, they'd just come to me and I'd be like, read this next.
Oh, I love it. Okay. I feel like I have to confess to you that I have not read Harry Potter. The eyes. I know. But I just, you know, I don't want to start this off with a lie. So I feel like I need to be upfront about this. But I did buy the first book with like the pictures, like the children's kind of, but it's beautiful. It's like this big, beautiful book. And I'm trying to get my daughter into it so we can read it together, because now I feel like I would really like it. It just didn't happen for me when I was younger. So we're going to try this now.
Okay. There's still time. There's still time.
There's hope. There's hope for me. Okay. So fast forward to today. Tell us, what do you do and who do you help?
Yes. So I'm a social media strategist. I help coaches, thought leaders, and really just passion-led business owners learn how to use social media as a tool to grow their business. So I do that through done-for-you services for those people who are like, I don't want to think about this. I want someone else to think about it. And then I also teach it in our coaching program for those people who want to learn how to do it for themselves.
So good. Okay. Well, when it comes to social media, I could probably keep you here all day jamming on all of the things. But let's just start off with, how should we be thinking about social media in 2021? As business owners with personal brands, growing our businesses online, what is social media like these days? How has it changed? I don't know. How should we be thinking about things?
Yeah. And I think the challenge with social media is that it is so public that we can see what everyone else is doing. And especially as business owners, we start comparing ourselves to other people, like, oh, I should be on TikTok now, or I should start a Clubhouse room, or I should create a YouTube series. And it's a lot of shoulding on ourselves, like we should do all of these things. And so as business owners, one of the things I recommend thinking about first is, what exactly do you want social media to do for you and your business? Because it's going to be different. Some of us use social media as a portfolio piece to showcase our work. Some of us use social media as a way to build partnerships, like strategic partners with people who would refer business to us. Some of us use it as a way to market to the end user or end consumer and encourage them to make a buying or purchasing decision. So once you understand what social media can do for you and your business and where it fits in with like everything else you're doing, then I find that it's easier to make decisions on like, where should you be? How frequently should you show up? What are you saying when you show up, and all of those things? And that hopefully will take us through past 2021 as well, because the landscape shifts so much. So for example, for me, I love talking. I'm a talking, processing kind of person. If you ask me to sit down and write a social media post, it's going to take me a long time. It just takes longer. And so for me, I much rather do a video, or I love doing podcasts. So knowing that about myself and then knowing how I want to show up, I can take that skill and apply it to any platform, apply it to any strategy, even as things change, like new features on Instagram, like Instagram Reels. I know how I want to show up there because I know what works for me. If turning on the video and doing a face-to-camera video makes you like die a little bit inside, then you don't have to do it. You can find other ways to show up on the platform and just know that when new features like that come up, it's not for you and that's okay.
Oh, that's so good. This is such a timely conversation for me too. And I did not know that you are also a verbal processor. So I should, like podcasters, you know, we're typically verbal processors, right? It does make sense. This has been in the beginning of my business, I was all over social media and so much of my business growth came from that. But the last, you know, I could blame it on the pandemic, but this was so before the pandemic, but I could totally be like, oh, the pandemic, you know, just lost my way. But this is totally what's happening before the pandemic. The pandemic just probably made it worse, where I just wasn't as consistent. I didn't need to rely on it as much, but I probably could have been, but I didn't have tools in place that would help me keep up with it while keeping up with other things. And so now I'm kind of really going back to the drawing board. And it's interesting to hear you talk about the different ways, because that's what I've been reassessing is what do I want to be using social for? And what accounts am I going to focus on? And trying to give myself that fresh start, if you will, even though I have pretty established accounts, I haven't been consistent on them. I used to do more with Facebook. Now I'm like over Facebook. And so it's trying to figure out like, okay, where am I focusing my attention? Instagram is so needy. It's like five platforms in one.
Yes.
But I feel like Instagram is going to be where it makes sense for me to focus. But it's like, it's not really one platform because there's all these different things going on with it, you know?
Oh my gosh. Yes. My perspective on social media, but Instagram specifically, it's almost like that situationship, like a slightly toxic partnership where they just keep asking from you. Yeah. And it's like our relationship with it isn't healthy sometimes. It's we love it and we get the dopamine hit from like we posted something and people like it. And then the next day we're like, I want to delete this from my phone. I never want to log in again. And then the next day we're like, oh my gosh, someone like signed up for my program and they say that they found me through Instagram. This is the best thing ever. Yeah, it's like a little bit of a toxic partnership where it's like, you know, this person's toxic, but oh, they just got a new car and they said they pay for my, you know, to get my nails done, but also they're emotionally manipulative. So I think if we go into it understanding that, then maybe we can navigate it a little bit better.
That's so true. Oh my gosh. Yes. Instagram is definitely emotionally manipulative. So I think it's about those healthy boundaries. So what is your philosophy on how many platforms should we be on? I know this is going to be different for everyone, but do you have strong opinions about this? What should we do?
Yes, I do. I think one platform as your main like go-to platform is the way to go, especially if you are the one controlling it and managing it. We can only save space in our brains for so many things. And even social media is my job. I still have a platform that I spend most of my time on, like 80% of my time. And so I think as business owners, if we can just be okay with not being everywhere, that is the best solution. Those people who appear everywhere have teams of people helping them implement all of that. And a lot of us aren't teams of people. It's us and like maybe a virtual assistant. So if we think about it from that perspective, we can give ourselves a little bit of grace, pick that one, stick with it. I suggest 3 to 6 months. And then if you feel super comfy on that platform, you can start layering in others. One of my suggestions as well is in the meantime, if you still want to repurpose your content to the other platforms, you can absolutely do that. There's a lot of tools that will help you cross-publish content. It's the exact same post. Our favorite brands do it as well, like Starbucks and Peloton. They're all posting the same thing on all of their platforms as well. So you can do that in the meantime. But when we talk about like engaging and growing and showing up and being present, just pick one platform and just be happy there.
Okay, simple enough. Thank you for that permission. So one of the things that I know you talk a lot about that I think is really one of the most important things we should focus on with these platforms is really, how do we get that engagement up with our followers and eventually building that those engaged, loyal followers that eventually turn into clients or customers? Where do we begin with starting to do this?
So there's two pieces to this process. There's the actual content that you create, and then there's facilitating the engagement of that content. So the easiest way to me to kind of understand the types of content that's working on social media is the type of content people will share. And I think as business owners and marketers, really, we kind of move away from that a little bit because we're like, let's blast them with our ads and hopefully they'll buy something. But at the end of the day, the content that goes quote unquote viral, or the content that does the best, is the content where people go, ooh, I got to share this with my bestie. I got to share this with somebody. And it's not necessarily a promotional style content piece. And so if we approach the content from that perspective, it can help build engagement. So an example would be one of my clients who's an OBGYN works with women, people who are trying to conceive or who are pregnant. She walks them through the pregnancy process and postpartum. One of her posts that did the best was just identifying this question. She said, how many other people out there wear their postpartum underwear for way longer than they should, right? And it was kind of one of those posts where people were like, I thought I was the only one. And so it's that quote unquote, I feel seen type of content where people DM it to their girlfriend and they're like, oh my gosh, you've got to check this out. This is so relatable. That really helps bolster social media engagement. So it does start from the content perspective first, and creating content like that is a practice. And so for me, it's really related to consistent habits, and you're not going to be great at it at first. So I like to relate this to yoga, for instance. I love practicing yoga. I am pretty bad at it still. I do not look anything like my instructor when I do the poses, but it's the practice of it. And I can feel myself getting better, right? It's the same for social media. It's like the practice, the habit of getting better. On the flip side of that is facilitating the engagement. So we've got the content and then we actually have encouraging engagement. And this typically comes from being engaged with first or being engaging first. And oftentimes this means networking and building a community around the work that you're doing. And it has to come from a really genuine place. It can't be formatted or formulaic. And it really comes down to, it's a lot like dating or networking. You don't just run up to someone and go, let's get married tomorrow. Typically, it's like, I like your shoes or something like that. And so a lot of our initial social media reactions are on that level of, I like your shoes. And you've got to build up to, let's go on a date or let's grab coffee or whatever the case may be. Like, it's got to build. And the same thing with dating, not every single person you talk to is going to become the one for you or become a partner. Most of the people actually aren't, probably. So it's a lot of networking in that capacity that really can help build amazing relationships on social media. And those people who commit to those strategies have the best engagement on their posts.
Okay. I love how you broke this down. And it's so true in these two parts, like break it apart, if we're creating the content and then actually engaging. So when it comes to creating the content, you mentioned these habits and we're not going to be great at them at first, but is there anything that you do or that you recommend your clients to build these habits to create that type of content that is going to be shareable or the most engaging to our audience?
Yeah. So I recommend setting a time limit for this. And I know a lot of people recommend giving yourself like a post limit, like every week you should post 3 to 5 times a week. But it almost feels similar to like that yoga analogy where it's like your pose should look like this. And it's like, well, we're not there yet. And so giving yourself that time to create the first couple of times you do it, like the first dozen times you do it, whatever comes out is not going to be great probably, but you got to stick with it. And then the second piece to that is using social media as a mirror. So it really should just reflect what's happening internally in your business. Like the postpartum underwear example is a question that she probably got from one of her members or from a client. And it's one of those things that we talk about internally in our business. Social media should just amplify those like kind of hidden conversations. And it takes practice to kind of dig deep and understand what that is. And typically a brainstorming session works for me. So give yourself like a VIP day, give yourself some time to sit down and think about the concepts that you want to share and that you want to talk about. And this works for any of your marketing, not just social media. So everything from your website to your podcast to your emails, think about the concepts that you want to talk about. And then you can start breaking them down when you kind of do sit down for that hour to pull all of those content pieces together. Where we get stuck sometimes as business owners is when we sit down and that's when we try to develop the content. And again, I think this comes from a place of looking at someone else's Instagram or their Facebook or whatever and going, okay, I'm going to try to make something as good as that. right? And it's like, it's not supposed to be as good as that. What are you doing today that you can reflect back in your marketing and you'll be able to produce way more content and you'll be able to actually produce things that resonate with people because you're not trying to be something else. You're just reflecting the conversations and things that are already working for you in your business.
Oh, such a good reminder. So with thinking about this type of content, does it matter if it's a picture with a caption, if it's a quote, if it's a reel, if it's a IGTV, if it's a story, if it's a video, like all these different, if it's a carousel post, like all the different things that we could be doing on Instagram, it feels a little overwhelming. It's like, well, what type of content should I even be creating? In the brainstorm phase, should we be thinking about these different types? And I'm talking about Instagram specifically. Clearly, there's all these other platforms too that someone might be focused on. So yeah, like what does that brainstorm phase look like? Is it just the ideas and then we figure out like where's the best way to implement? What do you recommend for that?
Yeah. I mean, even you just said you like talking, right?
I do.
So I think sharing those concepts through some sort of spoken way could work for you. So, I mean, have you tried Instagram Reels yet?
Okay. In theory, I would be amazing at Reels. In reality, I don't know. So I love the concept of it. I love the idea of having fun with it. I've tried to do the lip sync thing. I just can't. I don't know. There's like, I'm like missing that part of my brain where it like, I can't line it up. It's too, I don't know. It's too complicated for me. Now I did have some fun doing, I'm going to use air quotes here, like Reels style videos. Like I may have gone like a little too all out. Sometimes it's like all or nothing for me. So there was like two different looks and I was like two different people. Yes. And I had a lot of fun with it. And we ran it as an ad and I got really good feedback on it, but I didn't know, I think it was maybe 90 seconds. And with Reels, how long are they? So it's like 30 seconds or a minute, whatever it was. It was like 30 seconds. So I think we like got it down to a minute and then it was like, oh yeah, there's no way we can get this to 30 seconds. So it wasn't technically a reel, but it was reel style. It took me way too long to do. I'm not even going to admit how long it took to do with the video editing and all of that. So the simple answer is probably no, I have not done reels, but I have had attempts and I have like a foot, like kind of like, ooh, this is interesting. But also, oh my gosh, how do I have the time for this? But I am also share as long as it's like Jacqueline's social media confessions. So I am like you, where writing is so hard for me. I can write really well when I can get into that zone, but it's so hard for me to get into that zone. And I can't get into that zone at like, you know, 3 o'clock on Thursday. I can't time it. It just has to like kind of happen. So I have to get that inspiration, if you will. And then I try to hire other people to write for me and I'm never happy with it. I'm very picky. So it's not a good combination. And what I've decided is, you know what? I need to lean more into video. And you would think, oh, easy. But where it gets more complicated for me, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I'm sure most people are different than me because it feels like people are different than me since everyone else figures this out. But I don't know, like just talking to myself is not exciting. Like getting on live and just talking to myself, or I don't really have that personal accountability to be like, I'm going to sit down and record like hours of video content today by myself. So what I found is when there's someone else there, it keeps me accountable and it's more fun. And then I get that energy, right? So one, we're now, as you know, recording these Zoom podcast interviews so we can use clips of video for social. But I'm also leaning more into having team members interview me, whether we air it as a podcast episode, which we did last month, but also just to pull stuff out of me that we can use video for, because that is fun for me. That's easy for me. And the end result is the same as me on video, right?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love every piece of this. And I actually feel like you're doing a great job. And I kind of get the sense that you feel like you're not doing enough, maybe? Or...
I definitely feel like I'm not doing enough. Okay. I'm not, I mean, legitimately, I am not doing enough with posting consistently on social. Now, the last month or so, we've done a lot. We went from like very little to a lot. But I want to get back to that community building content. And we've really been focused on content around launches. And it's like, okay, but this isn't like the direction of where we want to go with things, right? Sure, we're going to have things that we're going to promote on social, of course, but that's not the real point of it, right? So, and we have audiences, but I've pivoted my businesses over the years. So I have two accounts, but those audiences are definitely not as engaged as they could be, or dare I say should be, right? So it's going to take that time to re-engage the communities and probably grow with more of the right people too, because some of those people are probably from a past account name where our focus was a little different and all of that. So yes, I'm trying to lean into more like I can create that's going to be the easiest. And it sounds like that's really what you encourage people to do too. When you were saying like, well, this is what's easy for me. So I think that's important that we just own that and right and lean into it, because going against the grain is so heavy.
Yes. Okay. There's so many opportunities to just keep doing what you're doing without having to point or dance on Instagram Reels, for example.
Oh my God, I'm so bad at pointing too. I like don't know where to point. it's not good at that.
And I will say too, Instagram, like their in-app editing is awful. So if you can't sync things up or if you can't get the text to pop up at the same time, I almost promise you it's not you. It's Instagram. Again, that toxic partnership is showing up again. They're making you feel bad for doing something. But I think there's opportunity to repurpose content. So instead of Instagram Reels, what if, you know, part of this podcast interview is an IGTV video instead? You know, if you have a video editor, you just give them the different dimensions and they can create, you know, a 5-minute segment for IGTV. That's a way to repurpose content. Or even post a couple 30-second clips into your stories or even on Reels. You could try posting that content there. Even for Reels as well, I have found just talking to the camera can be a great way to produce content. Take a post that did really well, maybe like a year ago or even recently, and say the same things just on Reels instead of in a post. You're going to reach more people, reach different people. You're not recreating the wheel because you already said it. And it could be a potential to test out a new feature without having to commit to the outfit changes, which I never done. I just can't imagine having the time to produce that. But I'm always amazed when I see other people. I'm like, oh, that looks nice.
See, that surprises me about you though, because you do, you're like, you're all put together, but it's like you have the one outfit, you're committed. You don't want to have to.
Yeah, no.
How many, I can't this even... is off topic, but I have a kind of a personal question for you. How many headbands do you have?
I have a surprising collection that's ever growing. I probably have about 20 now.
Okay. I don't want to brag, but I think I'm getting close to 50. I don't wear them all. But sometimes you get those like Amazon packs with like, you know, 12 in them or something, you know, it's like, it's a bit extreme. But yes, but I feel like the headband change up could be an easy, that's what I do. That's one of my, it's one of my tricks.
I think this also comes down to knowing your audience as well. Because I talk about simplicity in social media, I want that reflected in my content as well. So I don't really overproduce. I feel like it'll actually alienate the right people for me. Mm. And my favorite, like for my coaching program, my favorite clients are the people who are like, hey, Andrea, I feel a little bit embarrassed, but how do I even post an Instagram story? And I'm like, oh, I got you. Because I can really break it down in a way that feels like they can accomplish this or they can actually do something with Instagram stories. So an example would be, I, you know, talked about this podcast turning into IGTV. You can keep sharing that to stories over time as well. It's an evergreen piece of content now. So when you think about your stories, it doesn't have to be, you know, for instance, this morning, I posted a little video of me meditating with my dogs. It doesn't have to be that. That's my way of showing up. It doesn't have to be that for you. It can be scrolling back to your feed and posting something that's relevant to your audience today, just hitting that little airplane button and sharing it to your stories. It doesn't have to be like super complicated. It doesn't have to be you showing your food or anything like that.
It's such a good reminder and just encouragement, because when you saying that reminds me of just things I've been hearing from friends and clients, but sometimes that overly polished brand, it actually loses trust in today's social media online landscape. But if it's like too produced, it feels like there's a distance, or like, is that person being real? Or like, I think what in the past, that level of production was trust, like, oh, they're legit, is now the opposite, is like, oh, wow, this looks too packaged and polished and like distant. Like it doesn't feel like this is real. So that's an interesting change that we're seeing.
Yeah. And it totally. So even you can probably hear my dogs in the background. That's part of my life, right? And I think that a lot of online business owners, especially the people who I'm trying to connect with, they have their 4-year-old is running into the room while they're, you know, on a meeting or, you know, whatever the case may be, life is happening around us. And so the more I can reflect that, the better. And that's why I'm really a strong believer in social media reflecting. And a great example of this too is I get a lot of questions from people thinking about political issues. Do I say something? Do I not? How do I show up for my audience members? Should I post a black square or not? And those questions can be answered by, are you talking about it with your clients and with your team and with internally in your business? If you're not, then maybe you can start there and then think about social media later. Social media isn't the place where you start. And I think that's why a lot of people feel stuck sometimes when they go to post on social and they're like, what do I say about this topic? That resistance we feel is probably because we haven't said anything yet about it. And so if you do the internal work first, that's the hard part. That's where you may feel the resistance, you may feel the discomfort, and then social media can just reflect whatever those internal conversations, discussions, or even if it's just you, like the internal thoughts about a certain situation and thinking about how you can reflect that back on social media to your audience.
Oh, I love how you broke that down. And it's true, as verbal processors, those of us too, of having those verbal conversations, that does help us clarify what it is we're thinking and kind of put, you know, maybe disjointed thoughts together and process these situations better to then be able to go to social media to talk about it. One thing I've wondered is there a frequency with talking about stuff that maybe isn't the normal purpose of the brand, but that is timely with current events and maybe, you know, are on topics that as the founder, we really care about and our audience likely cares about too, or at least maybe we want our audience to care about those things. But where's that line between like, okay, but this isn't the total mission of the brand? Have you found a balance with that that feels like, okay, we're showing up for the things that really do matter to us and our community, but we're not moving the direction of the mission either?
Yeah. And this is such an internal process as well. And I do think it depends on how much it shows up in your business. So is there like a dedicated page on your website? Then you probably would talk about it more so than someone who it's, you know, a PS on the about page, for instance. So I think it really should, the frequency of it probably reflects how deeply it's embedded into your brand and into your missions. And it is tough. I see this like call out culture happening on social media that it just doesn't sit right with me. And I think that there is a difference between saying, hey, this is something that's important to me as a member of your community, and I'd like to bring it to you to consider, versus you should say this or you shouldn't say that or that sort of thing. So it is a really tough decision to make as business owners. But honestly, we're leaders. As a business owner, you're automatically a leader. And part of leading someone is sitting with that discomfort. It just comes with the title. And so you've got to be able to sit down with the discomfort of going, my community is saying something, or I feel like I should change the way that I'm approaching this, or I feel like I should double down on a concept that I really believe in. Got to sit with that as a leader and then also be okay with messing up, saying the wrong thing, not saying the right thing, you know, taking too long to make a statement, not making a statement at all. Those are all the things as leaders that we have to be able to make a decision about, take action on, and live with the consequences of those actions. And it's really tough, especially now. I mean, I can feel the landscape on social media is heating up to a surprising level that it makes people feel like they're tiptoeing around certain topics like they don't want to talk about, they don't want to rock the boat, and understandably so, just because of the blowback and reactions that we see from a lot of these things. So you have to decide as a business owner what that comfort level is for you and make sure that if it's a part of your brand, it's not just something that shows up on social media. It's something that you're talking about internally with your team, with your clients. It's on your website somewhere. It's in your business. And then social media is just kind of reflecting pieces of those things. So one example I'll give is one of my clients is a coach for, she's like a feminist life coach. And so a lot of her it's embedded in her content to talk about not only, you know, the workings of your brain and how you approach the world, but also the disparities of women in North America and especially women of color or people of color specifically. And so for her, it's a daily conversation, right? For some of my other clients, I have another client who is, they work with actors and really help them to like show up right for their auditions and things like that. They do have a strong mindset component to what they do, they probably talk about these topics once a month, and that's a good frequency for them. They donate to certain organizations. And so for them, it's easy to say, this is the organization we're donating to this month. Here's why this cause is important to us. And it's something that's consistent for them, and that's part of their habit. So you kind of have to decide what that is for you and your business and just make sure it's a reflection of what's happening internally.
Oh, I so appreciate your, well, one, just your opinion and perspective and just the deep level of insight with this. I really appreciate you sharing all of that. And I think this is really an empowering perspective too, that we need to go deeper with it and really think about how are we infusing our values into our whole business? Like, okay, now how do we show that up on social media, right? But it's like just starting with social. Sometimes that might be why things are feeling hard, and that this really needs to be, it's a bigger, deeper conversation. So yes, I thank you for breaking that down. And I think that is a really empowering way to look at it too, that yeah, like we're leaders, right? Like we need to show up and lead, and it's not going to be perfect and it doesn't need to be perfect. And that's part of the process and showing up messy, but we're leaders. Oh, okay. I feel like this ties into, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I know you talk about mindfulness and social media, and there's a lot going on with social media in terms of, okay, here we are talking about what are we promoting, and we're growing audiences, and also how are we showing up on these topics? And there's a lot at play here. So how are we contributing to social media, having this be a big driver in our businesses, but also being mindful about it?
Yeah. And this showed up for a very real way for me in my business, because I'm actually doing this all day, 24/7 feels like sometimes. I had a moment where I was feeling incredibly anxious. I was feeling overwhelmed and panicked at the thought of another notification coming in. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And so what helped for me is to really give myself strong boundaries with social media. And it again starts with understanding the role that it plays, not just in my business, but like showing up for my clients as well, and what I want that to look like. And so the first thing I realized was these notifications have to go. Like, I don't get any notifications. I don't even get text messages now, because
I know there was an option.
Yes. In your iPhone settings, you can turn notifications off for every single app, and you do have to turn them off. They start on, which I do not like. So anytime I download an app, those notifications go off. I don't get a pop-up. No sound happens. So what I have, how I have it set up is like my favorites list. So my husband, my mom, my sister, like they come through. No one else can, there's not an emergency big enough that they can interrupt anything. And it was like immediate relief. Now, in the beginning, I missed some things. Like I forgot to check my Instagram DMs for 2 days. And so there was something sitting there and I was like, oh shoot, I should respond to that. So it does happen. You will miss things. But how I have it set up is I have reminders in Asana. And I just leave Asana open on my computer when I'm working. And I go through my checklist. And every day when I check off stuff, like check Instagram DMs, check Facebook, check LinkedIn, it like moves it to the next day. And I'll do the same list the next day. But I also like social media. So after I got over the anxiety and overwhelm, and I was like, I just need a break, I find myself, I just use it naturally. So I naturally check Instagram in between my calls because I love being there. But if I'm on a call, nothing's going to pop up. I'm not going to start thinking about it. It's not lighting up my screen, right? And so I really have separated that. Even email. For me, it was the weekends. Clients would email me on the weekends and they're very nice. They'll say, hey, no worries. Don't think about this till Monday. It doesn't matter. I saw it and now I'm thinking about it. And so on the weekends, it's off completely. And so when you're a business owner, you've got to think about the boundaries you want to set for yourself, how you want to show up on social media, how it plays a role in your business. And that can start you developing your own mindfulness practices and habits. And my favorite way to kind of jumpstart this for myself is through mindfulness meditation. And I even created some meditations specifically around social media, understanding your relationship, you know, feeling terrible after getting a bad comment, gaining confidence before you hit live, go live on Facebook, or whatever the case may be. It's called Social Media Unwind. It's just like I basically put in a podcast feed available anywhere.
This is so brilliant, by the way. I am obsessed with this. Okay, definitely going to check that out as soon as we get off. Love it.
Yeah, I've got about 10 of them up now. I've worked on it for a year now. And it's one of those things where, again, we feel like we shouldn't feel these feelings about social media, but social media is that toxic partner that we need to create boundaries with. Otherwise, they will make us feel bad. And then we'll start doubting ourselves. Like, man, I feel like I should be excited to get an Instagram DM. And instead, I'm feeling resentful because there's yet another person asking me yet another thing. And so it is that, like, no, it's not me. It's totally Instagram, because that's the point of it. And as long as I'm okay with that, I can then create boundaries that make me feel safe to participate on this platform.
Yes. Okay. No, I think that's one, all the yes to the boundaries, but having specific meditations for this, I think, is really powerful and just a way to really embrace it more. And if we're thinking of it as that, the toxic relationship, which I love this analogy, and maybe this is taking it too far, but it's like, okay, well, we need to have the boundaries with it and we need to be able to take care of ourselves with that relationship. And having these specific meditations, I think, plays into that so beautifully. I have another question for you, but anything else you wanted to say about mindfulness and social media before I go like on a totally different direction?
I think I'll leave you with this. Social media is meant to be social. So when you think about how you want to spend your time on the platform, we think about like broadcasting out a lot. If we can give ourselves grace on that, like if you want to cut out anything specifically time-wise, I would say just maybe reduce the amount of content you're producing and figure out how you can be more social on the platform. Because I think that really is where a lot of these negative feelings come from, is we feel like we're this like content generating machine that's like there's someone with a whip, like create more, 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 you know? And so if we can reduce that feeling a little bit, I think we can also, I don't know, maybe learn to like these platforms, maybe.
Maybe, hopefully someday. Okay, this actually ties in perfectly with the question I didn't get to ask you earlier, but wanted to follow up with before we ended. So we really dove deep into the content creation side of the creative process, but the second part of that was engaging. And you gave some good tips for that, but I just wanted to go a little bit deeper with, okay, with these people that we're building real, genuine relationships with and spending that time engaging, how do we decide who these people are? Or is there a process for doing this? Are we engaging with them on just our own stuff? Are we going to their feeds and engaging? Is this hashtags? How should we think about this to kind of simplify what might feel a little bit overwhelming or just ambiguous with how to get started?
Yes. I, again, like a time limit here. So 15, 20 minutes a day. Again, this is in my Asana as well. So whatever project management tool you use, some of my students put it like a block in their calendar, 15, 20 minutes a day. You're going in and engaging. And engaging is, can be a like, it can be a comment, it can be a direct message. But you're just going to be consistent with that. And you want to balance that between your current followers and new people as well. So typically say about 50-50. Don't be hard on yourself, though. If you log in, you have a bunch of comments and you spent the whole 20 minutes responding, that means it's working. That's a good thing. So as far as who to engage with, for me, I love partnerships. And that's really where I see the most bang for my buck, so to speak, with my brand, because my ideal client customer, not on social media, and they may not be spending a lot of time there. So I look for people like graphic designers, brand strategists, podcast editors, people who work with my clients, and I start building relationships with them. I use hashtags. I will use other people's posts. I will use locations as well, specifically when we could have in-person events. If there was an in-person event that I didn't go to, I would still go like, who's checking in here? Who's like using the event hashtag? Because they're super like active and participating. And I will check out their profile. Maybe I'll follow them. Maybe I'll like a few of their posts, but it has to be genuine. I don't just follow people hoping that they'll follow me back. There's like a really bad energy that goes into that, and you're not going to get the right people. So it has to be genuine. And I just spend time building that up each day. I do it very organically. I have some of my students who actually create lists for themselves and spreadsheets of people. You can do like whatever works for you. The consistent part is the habitual way you'll see progress. And one of my favorite ways is just to go to someone who is maybe not a direct competitor, but well-known in the space. Look at their latest Instagram post, see who's commenting, then start looking at those people. They're engaged, they're participating, they're showing up, they're hot. So how can you also engage them? You can either respond to their comment in the same post, or you can go to their profile and start engaging with them as well. And so I think it has to come from a natural, very natural place. So an example, like a very specific example, is I have been really enjoying Pat Flynn's content lately. He's really strong about community and just seems like a really genuine person. And so I've been trying to connect with his community as well, because I think there's a lot of overlap in the way that I teach content, and he doesn't teach the same things I do. And so that's an example of someone who I will go to his latest post, I'll see who's leaving comments, and I'll check out their profiles and see what they're all about and see if it's someone I want to connect with.
Such a smart and simple strategy, right? And yes, and then you're putting your energy into people who are already engaged on the platform too, so they're more likely to engage. Like, just so brilliant. Okay, well, we're out of time. I'm like, I could ask you a million more questions. But okay, this has been incredible. How can we stay in touch with you?
Yeah, so Instagram's my favorite platform. If you're listening to this podcast, send me a DM. Let me know what you like about it. I'd love to connect with you there. And then if you want to go deeper into building out a strategy that works for you, I have a free course. It's at onlinedrea.com/free. The meditation's included as well, if you want to check that out, as well as like a framework for building a strategy that really can work for you and help you kind of break the chains of your toxic social media relationship. So you can find that at onlinedrea.com/free.
Amazing. Such a generous freebie too. So we'll definitely be checking that out. Okay. How amazing is Andrea? I'm obsessed and so inspired from our conversation. So I am going to be pouring some new life into our GoTo Gal account so soon. And I would love to connect with you over there. So if we're not already connected, come on over to go.to.gal and send me a DM. Just say hey. And I'm looking forward to connecting with you over there. Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.